Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now, here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program. Thank you very much for joining us at NFP for Life here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM. We're coming to you this afternoon with a live program, and our dedication this weekend will gear toward the Pro-Life March, which is coming up this Monday. It's the 36th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and we'll be marching in Washington, D.C. And so we want to speak today a little bit about what it means to be pro-life and some pro-life issues. So to get started, Betty's going to lead us off with a prayer.
Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but also of nations and governments. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeting the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin with human lives, when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
In the name, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our program is live, so if any of you have any questions about pro-life issues, any comments about anything that we're speaking of, or any other issues that you'd like to bring up referable to the pro-life cause, please feel free to give us a call at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. Before we dive into our topic for the day, though, we have some important announcements that we'd like to make, and rather than letting them go to the end of the program where we may run out of time, we'd like to take the opportunity to make those announcements now because we think that there are some pretty important programs that are coming up.
And we have a few workshops that are coming up, and our first one is going to be Saturday, February 17th. 9:30 to 4:30, and it's called the Marital Chastity and the Allure of Contraception Workshop. And it is being held at the International Institute for Culture at Ivy Hall at 6331 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia. And the admission's $45 plus $10 for lunch. And the presentations are going to be absolutely wonderful. I'm planning on attending, but the first topic is marital chastity, contraception, and natural law, and then evidence-based medicine and contraception. The third topic is the psychological consequences of contraception, and the fourth, the sociological consequences of contraception, and then there's natural family planning and living marital chastity, and preaching on marital chastity and contraception. So this is going to be an excellent program, a one-day seminar. And again, that's marital chastity and the allure of contraception workshop, Saturday, February 17th at the International Institute for Culture. And you can go on their website, www.iiculture.org. and get more information. Secondly, we have a program coming up on March the 3rd. And this is also a one-day conference. And it's being held by the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. It's their annual conference. And what are some of the topics, Les?
Well, first, the whole point, it's going to be at St. Mary Medical Center.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
And registration is from 8 to 8:45. It'll be over by 3 o'clock. And the purpose of the day is to develop a marketing plan and a business plan for how to market natural family planning. You've heard us speak many times on this program about how few people know about natural family planning. And the topic is the, do you want to know a secret? Natural family planning, the best kept secret of the Catholic Church. And what we're going to try to do is open up and reveal what that secret is and come up with a game plan utilizing audience participation and some of our speakers. We're going to have Generation Life, Mountain McGillivray, and Judy McLean come up and talk about teen sex and how to say no in a yes world. And then Sister Sheila Galligan, who's the chair of the Department of Theology at Immaculata University, is going to talk about NFP 101, a college update. And then we're going to have Father David Fernandez, who is a priest down at St. Anselm's Parish in Northeast Philadelphia, speak on natural family planning in marriage prep. And then a parishioner at St. Ignatius Parish, a user and supporter of natural family planning, Christian Chacha, who's going to speak on natural family planning in married and family life. And then our guest speaker for the afternoon will be Judy Leonard, who's the director of the Family Life Office, who's flying in from Wichita, Kansas. And she's going to discuss marketing NFP in the new millennium. Wichita had a very successful marketing campaign that they embarked on last year. And Judy's going to come up and present that campaign and talk about their successes and make some recommendations. And then finally, we're going to have a presentation by Greg Rupersberger, if the name sounds familiar. Greg is our youngest son, and he's got a master's in business administration, and he's actually going to put together a business plan for natural family planning. Continental breakfast and a box lunch are provided. Registration is $15 a person, $25 a couple. You can't beat the price. You can't go to McDonald's, Burger King, IHOP, Denny's, or anywhere else and get two meals for $15 and a full day's worth of information. If any of you haven't been to the conference center at St. Mary Medical Center, it's a conference center par excellence with a state-of-the-art audiovisual system. There's free parking in the garage adjacent to the conference center on the top level, so you can pull into an underground garage that's covered if the weather's bad. Come spend the day in prayer. It's like a mini retreat. And seating is limited, so you can register at pnfpn.org, which is the website for the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. The registration forms are there, so get your registrations in early, send your money in early, invite a few people, and come support us for the day and support the program. It's going to be an excellent program.
And again, that's March 3rd at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the other program is Saturday, February 17th, 9:30 to 4:30. And we have one more thing that we want to announce. St. Ignatius is having a Lenten faith sharing, and all are invited to attend. We're going to have two types. We're going to have a home-based faith sharing or also internet groups of faith sharing. And it is going to be focusing on the Sunday scripture in preparation for Easter. And this year, St. Ignatius offers a second option. And again, I'm speaking about the internet group. And if you'd like to register for this program, you can call the St. Ignatius Rectory or contact Lisa Perry at 215-497-0577 or Pat at
Hortanowicz
at sphart@aol.com.
And the rectory telephone number is 215-493-3377. And it would be easier for you to remember the rectory or look it up in your directory at St. Ignatius Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania. This is a great program. Betty and I have been involved in the program for the last 7 or 8 years. It's a fabulous way to get together and share some faith on the Sunday readings and spend some time reflecting and meditating and preparing for the greatest feast day in the celebration of the Catholic Church, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's starting in February, and it's coming up soon. It may sound like we're talking about Lent a little bit too early, but we're in the third week in January.
Exactly.
And so Ash Wednesday's only a couple of weeks away. So we wanted to make those announcements and get them in. If you have any questions about those, you can contact the radio station. Email me at lrupersberger@comcast.net. We can get you the information. Or you can call us during the program, say hello, wish us well, and come up with any questions or any additional information that you have. As far as our topic today is concerned, I wanted to get in a little bit of discussing a very important and very significant topic. And I wanted to hit you with a couple of facts. The reason why we have a pro-life march every year is to let the people in our country know that there are a lot of citizens in this country who are very much in favor of life, to let our government know, to let our Supreme Court know that we are not in favor of the current laws that are on the books allowing abortion to take place. And we'll discuss some topics. This is a controversial topic, but I just wanted to let you know that since Roe v. Wade in 1973, there have been 47,251,736 surgical abortions that we know about that have been performed. 47.25 million children, infants, adults who have been killed through surgical abortions. That's an entire generation of people. And amongst those, we don't know if there were any people that were brilliant scientists, brilliant leaders, brilliant teachers, brilliant governments, leaders for world peace, discoverers for the cures for certain types of diseases. We just don't know what we're doing. We have absolutely no clue. We're affecting the entire universe and the entire world with this decision-making process that we just now accept as so commonplace and so routine and so natural that we don't even think about it anymore. And we're doing this to the tune of almost 3 million abortions every year. So it doesn't stop. And you can divide it out by how many days are in the year, and there are thousands of abortions every day. So tomorrow morning, there are going to be some major events that are taking place that are led by Generation Life to attempt to bring attention to and to pray for the end of abortion and to favor life. And Betty's going to announce what those meetings are.
So Saturday, January 20th at 7 a.m., there's going to be prayer at the Philadelphia Woman's Abortion Center at 8th and Apple Tree in Center City, Philadelphia. At 9 a.m., there's going to be Mass at Old St. Mary's with Father Raymond Edmonds, and that is at 248 South 4th Street on the corner of 4th and Locust in Center City, Philadelphia. And then 10 to 11 a.m., there's going to be music, inspirational young speakers, and prayerful witness at the Planned Parenthood at 12th and Locust. If you need more information about this, please contact Judy McLean at 215-885-4669.
And that happens to be the telephone number also of the Pro-Life Union of Southeast Pennsylvania. So if you ever need any information or you need a reference resource for anything, an emergency, any problems, call that number at the Pro-Life Union. It's shared by the Generation Life organization out there on Pennsylvania Avenue in Orland, and it also happens to be the site where John Stanton very graciously allows the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network to have their meetings every month in the same offices.
Also, Monday, January 22nd, is going to be the Pro-Life March in Washington, D.C. If you are from this area and you are unable to attend that march, you can attend a rally down in Philadelphia sponsored by the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania at the West Courtyard of the Philadelphia City Hall from noon to 1 o'clock. So those that can't attend the march in Washington, D.C., come to Philadelphia at noon to 1 o'clock in the Philadelphia City Hall courtyard.
And those that can go to Washington, D.C., the Stand Up for Life rally rejecting the Supreme Court's January 22, 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, sponsored by the Pro-Life Union and an Alpha Pregnancy Services, will take place down in D.C. At the west part of the park, and there are a lot of parishes that are running buses. I know St. Ignatius in Yardley has two buses. I know that I've heard the announcements all week long from this radio station, Our Lady of Częstochowa, and a bunch of other local parishes. So if your parish, if you're not sure, call your parish rectory and find out, see if you can get on a bus. It's not too late to get a seat. You'll be back by 7 o'clock Monday evening. I know Betty and I will be down there. And the more people that go, it's a very respectful, very quiet, very prayerful protest to try to show in numbers and through prayer and to ask inspiration of the Holy Spirit to inspire our politicians, our leaders, and our Supreme Court that they need to change this. One of the reasons why we need to change it is Betty's going to read a couple of facts. They're kind of did-you-know facts. And I'd like you to pay attention to some of these, because they're pretty amazing, and I'm sure that most of you out there probably are not aware of this. I'm aware of it as a physician, and Betty's somewhat aware of it because she's been around me for a long time and involved in healthcare and has read and heard a lot of these things. But I'm sure that these are pieces of information that a lot of people are not aware of. And again, when we're talking about this, we're talking about in favor of life. We don't mean to put down. We don't mean to discourage. We don't mean to criticize. We don't mean to condemn anyone who may have had an abortion, who is contemplating of having an abortion. We know that these are difficult decisions, but our focus has to be on life, and our focus has to be on what God has given us as a gift. And we're going to try to give you some pieces of information this afternoon that will point in that direction. So, Betty, why don't you give some of these did-you-know facts.
Right. Here's some did-you-know facts that on 18 days after conception, a baby's heart begins to beat. And 43 days, a brain coordinates movement. 43 days, amazing. 8 weeks, all organs are functioning. At 9 weeks, baby has permanent individual fingerprints. And at 10 weeks, the sense of touch, so they can feel comfort or they could feel pain. At 12 weeks, a baby can smile, suck his or her thumb, and make a fist.
And that's all in the first trimester, and the majority of surgical abortions are done in the first trimester. So people that say it's a blob of tissue, 18 days after you conceive, there's a heartbeat. Most women are not even aware that they're pregnant 18 days after they conceive, unless you're using natural family planning, and then you would be aware.
Exactly.
But it's not a blob of tissue, and all life begins at fertilization. This is a documented scientific fact. We've discussed before information relating to implantation being an incorrect interpretation as to when life begins, 3 to 5 days after fertilization. And even if we gave them the benefit of the doubt, that would make it 23 days instead of 18 days, 5 days later. You're still talking at 3 weeks after you've conceived that life begins, that there's a heartbeat. And the majority of these abortions are being done at 6 to 8 weeks when all the organs are functioning and all the parts are there. So you really have to be aware that these facts are factual pieces of information and not just some nebulous out there blob of tissue that right now is just coming at a bad time in my life, or I just can't do this. And it's too early to be able to diagnose any kind of genetic diseases or genetic abnormalities. So any excuse that anybody would use for terminating a pregnancy this early based on any kind of genetic or birth defect abnormalities is completely inaccurate, because you can't make a diagnosis this early in pregnancy.
Well, excuse my ignorance, but I would like to say this for our audience, 18 days. If a woman had a 28-day cycle and she ovulated in the middle of her cycle, she would only be a couple days late with her menses before 18 full days have passed from conception.
Right.
So, you know, you could be a week late or even less than a week late with
your menses. And be 3 weeks pregnant.
And be 3 weeks pregnant. So
and maybe not even have a positive home pregnancy test yet, or maybe not thinking about doing a positive home pregnancy test.
And your baby, before you're late with your menses, already has a heartbeat.
Right.
So, you know, consider that and think about that. But, again, if anybody out there has a would like to call with a comment or a question, please call us, 215-345-1570. Also, adoption. Over 2 million couples wait to adopt, and that includes children of all races and those with special needs. 2 million couples are waiting out there to adopt.
And as supporters of life, you have to understand that we do live in the real world. We don't live in some fantasy world. Actually, Betty and I live in the really real world. And so we are totally aware that certain types of behavior, mistakes are made. We're all human beings. We're all sinners. We all do things that we're sorry for. However, at times, children will result and pregnancies will result as a result of certain types of behavior. And as a couple, I personally, I've mentioned on this program before, am adopted. Betty and I have an adopted son. Adoption is a viable option, and we praise and thank God every day. I do personally that the woman who gave birth to me decided to place me for adoption, and that the woman who gave birth to our son also made that courageous decision and chose not to terminate my life or terminate his life, or we wouldn't be here and this program wouldn't be here and a lot of other things would be changed.
Well, you know, I was reading an article today about that, and a lot of young women are being convinced by the evils of Planned Parenthood and society to abort rather than give their child up for adoption. So they're being convinced that to kill their child is better than allow someone else to raise them. And we have to change that mentality. I understand that women can't afford or are unable or are too young. But if you abort your child, that is going to stay with you for the rest of your life. If you give your child up for adoption, that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. But there's still hope and love and cherish. That child is going to be loved by many, even for you in your own heart, for the rest of your life. And it's not going to be a negative.
Now, some of the teachings that are directly quotes from the Catechism that we'd like to share with you before we get into some other information about concepts relative to abortion and pro-life. This is from the Catechism from 2270. Human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his or her existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which is the inviolable right of every human being innocent to life. Jesus said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth." Since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. It cannot be changed. There are under no circumstances will the Catholic Church ever, or anyone who follows the magisterium and the teachings of the Catholic Church, under no circumstances, for any reason, hear this, all pro-choice Catholic politicians, under no circumstances is that teaching changeable. Direct abortion, that is, abortion willed either as an end or a means, is gravely contrary to moral law. You shall not kill the embryo by abortion and shall not cause the newborn to perish. God, the Lord of life, has entrusted to men the noble mission of safeguarding life, and men must carry it out in a manner worthy of themselves. Life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide or abominable crimes. These are direct quotes from the Catholic Catechism, sections 2270, 2271. And I think the next one is a little bit perhaps relevant, too, because I don't think that people really think about it, but formal cooperation in an abortion constitutes a grave offense. What that means is that if you drive the girl to the abortion clinic, if you pay for it, if you support her in any way, if you make a reference to where she can go get an abortion, you have formally cooperated in that abortion, and you're just as guilty as the person who has the abortion. And that includes the physicians and the nurses who work in the abortion clinics. That's all considered to be formal cooperation in an abortion. And these are considered to be grave offenses. So I think that, you know, reading the catechism, understanding what the church teaches, understanding what the definition of life is, there are not any questions, there are not any reservations, there are not any debates as to when life begins. I think that the facts speak for themselves. The interesting thing is, Betty, that the greater the technology gets with ultrasound and our diagnostic methods, the more information that we get to support our position that life begins at conception.
Absolutely.
And so I think that it's interesting that these high-tech ultrasounds can actually go in and detect a heartbeat at 18 days and know that cardiac muscle is beating and blood is flowing through the blood vessels, and this child has organs that are working and kidneys that are functioning and things like that.
And even the simple pregnancy tests just that you buy at the drugstore can tell you that you're pregnant in a short amount of time.
Right.
What's the time frame on that?
Well, right now the newest digital one is Clear Plan Easy, and they've been heavily advertising on television and primetime TV, and you can actually diagnose a pregnancy 7 to 10 days after conception before you even miss your first period.
Well, that's amazing. So, you know, that's a good thing.
And with natural family planning, you know that you're pregnant when your temperature is up 18 days and you don't even need to spend any money for a pregnancy test.
Exactly. And there's so many people right now in this world even that are having, in this country, that are having such difficulty with infertility. The joy of a pregnancy is just amazing to them. And how tragic for someone to be so fearful and so frightened that they want to destroy that.
Now, we want to talk about, we don't want to make this all sound negative, and we don't want to make this all sound condemning. So we want to talk about some positive things that people can do. And the thing that I'm going to say right now, every single solitary person out there listening to this program and in the entire world can do this anytime they want without anybody knowing about it. The number one thing that you can do to be pro-life is to pray. We need prayer more than anything. Only God can change hearts. And we need the intercession of our Virgin Mary and all of the angels and saints to mount an attack against this evil that is permeating our culture, permeating our society, permeating our world, destroying literally societies. I have a couple of articles. I didn't bring them with me, but Betty will remember we read an article this past week about Germany.
Oh, right. Yeah, we forgot.
They're paying $13,000 to any couple that has a child as of January 1st to support the moms to be willing to go ahead and have a baby because they may be out of work and miss work, and they figured $13,000 is kind of like a minimum wage in Germany, and so they give you like a year's salary as a bonus for your willingness to be able to conceive and give birth to a child, because the birth rate in Germany is below the replacement birth rate in order to be able to maintain zero population growth. There was another article in the paper this week that there are not enough women in China.
Right.
And that there are three times as many men of childbearing age as there are women, because they have a one baby rule and they kill all the female babies and they want to amass an army of men. And so they figure only men can serve in the army. So they have a mandatory abortion sterilization policy with one child. And they're now starting to cut back on foreign adoptions.
Exactly.
In China, because they don't want people in this country adopting their children, because they're taking the children out of China and they have a very low population growth rate. And so there are countries all around the world that are suffering because they're aborting and killing their children, and they're contracepting and preventing the delivery of children. And people just don't understand that children are the absolute supreme gift of a marriage, and they're the supreme gift of life, and they're the supreme gift that comes about as a result of the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. And so you really have to look at several issues. The Catechism, sacred scripture, and the Church's traditional practice sees in large families a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. And they understand and realize the couples who discover that they're sterile suffer greatly. "What will you give me?" asked Abraham of God, "for I continue childless." And Rachel cries to her husband Jacob, "Give me children or I shall die." And research that's aimed at reducing human sterility is to be encouraged on a condition that it's placed at the service of the human person, understanding the true and integral good according to the design and will of God. A child is not something that is owed to one. It is a gift. The supreme gift of a marriage is a human person. A child may not be considered to be a piece of property, an idea to which an alleged right to a child would lead. Only the child itself possesses genuine rights, not the people that are having the children. So we really need to pray. That's the number one thing that you can do to be involved, to be pro-life.
Another thing you can do is defend, especially in conversations with those people who speak against life, and respond to letters to your editor when you see an article about abortion or abortion clinics, or, you know, they're promoting things. It's amazing to me sometimes what they do in the newspaper on a regular basis to promote this evil, and stand up for it and defend it. And then teach all levels. Teach your spouse, your family, your children, your friends, people in your workplace, schools, church, pre-CANA, RCIA, or CCD. Speak about pro-life and what a wonderful thing it is.
All these things are not things that you need to go looking for. They're things that you don't need to go out and seek. They confront you every day in your life. Something will come up in work. Something will come up in television, something will come up in a movie, something will come up in a newspaper article. Betty and I just went to see an extremely powerful movie, and I'm not advertising movies, and I don't know that this would be rated really positively by Steve Greydonis and the Catholic Movie Viewers Guide, but we saw Children of Men a couple of weeks ago.
It was like a sci-fi.
And it talks about the future, 20 years from now, and there is a worldwide pandemic of flu, and all women become sterile, and the youngest person on the face of the earth is 18 years old.
Right.
And it's almost like a predictor, and it's just a horrific, dark, very intensely, but extremely well done movie that investigate a lot of issues that are going on right now. And I don't want to get onto a sidetrack, but it certainly does deal with the sanctity of life and children and the issues that are going on in relationship to that.
But on a positive note, they had a big article yesterday in the Catholic Standard about a physician who happens to be a friend of ours, Dr. Joseph Harry Hill, who works at Pennsylvania Hospital, and his mission is to do vasectomy reversals, so that he actually has people coming to him from all over to do vasectomy reversals, and he's done quite a few. And actually, on the front page of the of the Catholic standard was this beautiful baby who was conceived after a vasectomy reversal. So he's a wonderful, faithful physician who practices urology, and that's his mission, to do as many reversals as he possibly can.
So as we're speaking about things that you can do to be pro-life, to live your life pro-life, you know, not only talk the talk, but you need to walk the walk. Please give us a call if you have any comments or any questions about anything that we're discussing. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio, 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. Betty and I are here live. We'll take your calls. We'll take your comments. But we already talked about prayer. We already talked about defending life. Stand up for life. Don't let anybody put down life. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. The truth will set you free. We just celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday this past week. That's his mantra. It has more to do with just what he was talking about in race relations. It has to do with all truth. Remember, the truth is not a thing. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. We should also teach our children, teach each other. Betty already went through that. One of the things that we can do very proactively is behave. Behave in a way that respects all life as a creation and a gift from God, starting with yourself, understanding our dominion has responsibility. You know, look at what movies that you attend. Look at what music you listen to. Look at the literature and the books that you read, the magazines, the activities, the plays. You know, you can sit there and you can go to the pro-life march, and you can pray, and you can go to the Adoration Chapel. But if you're going to support different things in television, radio, music, literature, magazines, you're subscribing to a magazine that is pro-choice, that has a message that is against life, then you're not supporting life. And you have to behave. You have to look at every aspect of your life. You have to live your life as if you were a pro-life supporter. This is not about a choice. What's the opposite of pro-life? Pro-death. Not pro-choice. They just don't want to say the word death, so they soften it by using the word choice and saying, well, I have a right to make a choice. But your choice is death. The outcome, the conclusion of your choice is that the fetus, the embryo, meets its death. And abortions are associated with mortality from all causes, for mothers who have aborted. Suicide, accidents, risk-taking behavior. The suicide rate following abortion for women that have abortion is 6 times higher than women who give birth.
Well, not only that, a woman that has an abortion, it doesn't just affect her. It affects her family. It affects the people that she works with. They may not even know it, but they can see a behavior that she's displaying. And it affects her for the rest of her life in a negative way. It just pulls at her heartstrings, and the guilt is so great. And even, young or old, middle age, whatever it is, it's going to affect you. It'll affect your parents, your grandparents. The loss of a grandchild is great to the mother of a girl like that. But we're talking about movies and music and literature and books and magazines and activities. Everything that's out there that is pro-choice, there's also a pro-life message. Steep yourself in those pro-life messages, in pro-life literature, in Catholic publications. You'd be amazed. It's like so eye-opening and so true and so pure. It's wonderful. I love getting the National Catholic Register and the Catholic Standard and Times every week. I look forward to reading that. So, have those things available in your home for your children to read and to understand.
Now, Betty and I, being Catholic and being Christians and trying to be as kind and gentle and merciful as we possibly can, we also understand and realize that there is a significant movement out there that has to do with what's called politically correct. And I heard a program a couple of weeks ago about political correctness. And they asked the question where the word came from, and the answer was, oh, we have a caller. Good afternoon.
Hi, Betty and Les.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Good.
I just want to say thanks, first off. Thank you so much for the time and the effort that you guys do putting the show together, and your generosity and your selfless time that the both of you give to educating us and the public. I would like to just comment in regards to ways of defending the pro-life movement. And Betty was talking about defending and having the courage to defend, you know, the unborn children and children in general. And that I think as we as Catholics, we have encounters every day that the Holy Spirit puts in front of us, even sitting on a line in a supermarket. And it's just having to muster up that to be able to defend the child, and to know in a culture that we live in that doesn't, you know, considers the child a commodity. It's just another type of business that we should, you know, venture into or not venture into. And I just think as Catholics, we need to really pray for the courage to stand up for the unborn child. And I just wanted to thank you guys for even being here today to be on the air to help us all, you know, in this endeavor.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your call and supporting us and our program, and also your own support in life. For those of you who may not be aware, Mary was a guest on our program a while back and is very pro-life in her own life and stands up for life and lives that kind of life with her family, her children, and her husband, and has supported us in our endeavors, and prays for us all the time. So we appreciate your call and your support. And it's not even, Mary, it's not even just the unborn, but it's all of life. It's the poor, it's the frail, it's the ill, it's the impoverished, it's strangers, it's weak people. Everybody has life, and we should support them all, taking care of the elderly and taking care of our neighbors. I mean, all of that activity is defending life and supporting life, and you don't look down upon it. And if you get into that habit and you get into that type of lifestyle where you support life all the time, every step of the way, then it becomes very natural.
You're very right. Yeah. And it is interesting to bring up the article in Germany, because so many European countries they're not replacing their population, and we're being faced with many, many different directions that we're going to be faced with that we don't know what to do with. I'd gone to Princeton University. They had a professor who was trying to basically show where, you know, Professor Singer is so wrong in his philosophical thinking. Mm-hmm. And what was disturbing was there was a young man in the audience at the end who really couldn't understand what the slippery slope meant. And he really did not understand why he doesn't have the right at, and this was not even for, you know, this wasn't even before the birth. This is basically at birth or after, that, he and the mother, it wasn't he and the wife, it was he and the mother, why they don't have the right to decide what the child should live. He really could not see the slippery slope, which was a very, as a parent, it really came a wake-up call of, like, even like a Professor Singer, whose philosophy and has been, you know, influencing public policy, has been influencing young minds coming out of one of the, you know, most, you know, institutions in our country. And it's a wake-up call to keep seeing that we can only change one heart at a time, and the way we act, what we say, what we do has such an influence on the people we encounter each day.
Absolutely.
Well, the amazing thing to me is I was reading some stuff on the Internet today that even the fathers of these unborn children don't have a right.
No, they don't.
Only the woman has the right to her own body. And that is cruel also.
But they do if they decide to have the child, and the man has to pay other things.
Well,
it's such a double standard.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't make any sense.
So, you know, really we need to, you know, support women. This is a woman's choice to do the right thing. And that's what we need to support.
I think we also
to
have to educate women, though, Bet, too, that it's such an oppression is what the culture has done to us. It's oppressing us. It's not liberating us.
No, not
it's
at all.
It's a lie. It's the greatest lie.
And the woman.
Told.
And the woman winds up alone and broken after an abortion.
Right. What's that one bumper sticker? Abortion: one dead, one wounded for life.
Exactly. Exactly.
But thank you so much, guys.
Thank
I really
you.
You're such an example and a witness to us of what we all can do, you know, from our own little corners of the world.
Thank
well,
you
God
very
bless.
Much. God bless.
God bless.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
So there is somebody out there listening, see? So we're not
alone.
Well,
you know,
here.
I think it's very important, too, you know, when we hear Mary on the phone like that. We need to incorporate this in our family and our households, how important life is to our children, and raise our children in that atmosphere. And
we have another caller. Good afternoon. Hello?
Doctor?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. Welcome to WISP Radio. But you're not a stranger to here.
No, I'm not.
How you doing? This is Bill Miller.
Yeah, I'm
president of the
around.
Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Thank you for calling.
Well, I just wanted to call and thank you to people for all the work you do. You know, if other doctors would step out like you and Betty have done and speak out about this issue and educate people as you have done, we would make a lot more progress. I just wanted to give you an example of today when many of us were down at the Warminster Abortion Mill in Planned Parenthood down there in Lewis Drive, and a young man came down to speak with us. We got him to come all the way down the driveway, and we gave him brochures. We gave him information. He did not want his fiance to have an abortion. They already had one baby, but he had all these reasons of why he couldn't, you know, tell her not to have the abortion. Mm-hmm. And for everything he offered, we countered that with, you know, the big thing is that this child has a right to live. Nobody has a right to take that child for any reason,
right.
You know, financial, material, she to get her college education, he to start his business, all the things that we talked about. And he left there at least convinced that he would never let anybody talk him into, approving of having an abortion. But he, when he came down, they wouldn't let him go back in to see her, to talk to her. And when she told him that they had moved her up in the line to get the abortion. She was, like, jumped her up about three or four, so before he could come in. And once she got back into that room, he was not allowed to go in to see her. That's where the father's rights are terminated.
Exactly.
Like the door of the abortion mill.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying about education, people should really, you know, learn about what Planned Parenthood does, all the evil things that they teach. Right now, I just read in the paper this morning, that same building there is going to open up for gay, lesbian, and transgender, what they call it, a rainbow room. So not only is it, you know, an abortuary, now it's going to be festering the gay lifestyle, which is affecting, you know, our families and our children also.
So the evil increases.
Yes, it does. And but I just really, as I was driving, I thought, boy, thank God for the two of you. What a great job you do. Taking an afternoon that I don't know how many other doctors would do that. There are, you know, a good group of young, not young, but Catholic doctors that have joined together, and parishes should have them come and speak to the people, speak to the, you know, and really promote it, that this is educational information that you all need to make decisions about your family and about life and about your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. So,
well, we just
want to go on and on, but I just wanted to let you know.
Well, we appreciate that, Bill.
I'm really thankful for you.
And I want to say that Betty and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, because 7 years ago you invited me to be a guest on your program, Voices of the Unborn. And as a result of that, I was invited to come back and start this program. And we've been here now almost 7 years, and we truly praise God for that invitation and you saying yes and getting my name for wherever you got it from, and me saying yes and coming here, and then Betty saying yes to be here because a radio personality she didn't want to be.
Right. Well, you know, when people are like afraid that, I don't want to get on the radio, I don't know what to say. It comes so easy. Once you start speaking from your heart, the Holy Spirit gets in and takes over. And the truth just comes out of you. As that lady said, you've educated so many. In them 7 years, just imagine how many people's minds you've changed. You've given a better insight into what this is all about. You know, when you say me, it's not me. It's like God's investment, you know, the invitation. What is it? The people who they each were given so much money, and one buried it and the other
right, the talents.
Well, if my job is being a host is to invite people who I know can even get a message out better than I can. So that's doubling the educational factor of anything that I can offer. It gets triple when it's there. Coming from me doesn't mean much, but coming from a doctor and his wife, that's pretty solid, foundation of what they're speaking they really know about.
So, well, we truly appreciate your kind words and your prayers and your support, and keep up the good work with your program. You and Jeanette do a great job.
And all your hard work.
Yeah.
Well,
I get to hear you on Saturdays on the Encore.
Yeah.
Since I'm working during the week.
I don't know. Are you going to the March for Life?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Okay, well, I'll probably see you down there. I have a lot of stuff I'm going to pass out on that bus. John Stanton has a great article about contraception, and I've made copies of that, and I'm going to pass that out. That we hope to have each pastor just publish it in their church bulletin.
Wonderful.
Really, break the silence is what the title. Break the silence. Look, people have been so immersed in the contraceptive mentality, like it, nobody's saying anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to really be spoken about. You know, people were led down that path thinking, it's all right.
Absolutely.
Intrinsically evil doesn't mean that it's evil. Well, yes, it does mean it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And people were kind of misguided in some of that stuff without having a strong, speaking out strongly about it in the very beginning. So.
Well, Bill, if you get a chance, try to attend that Marital Chastity and Allure of Contraception workshop down at the International Culture Institute in February. John Haas conceived of that idea, and they're going to have himself, me, and Rick Fitzgibbons, Brad Wilcox.
Right,
and,
I saw that in a paper.
Yeah, and Father Peter Ryan, who's a Jesuit, to come down and talk about the evils of contraception, which really, I didn't want to get into contraception today, but, before abortion came contraception.
That's right.
And if there weren't any contraception, there wouldn't be a need for abortion. And so we need to rid our society of both evils. But we have to start somewhere, and we have to fight it from both angles. So we truly appreciate your call.
Let us know about that. So we're also, you can get Patrick to continue to make announcements about that.
Yes, I will.
Also,
okay, and we'll put it on the website.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'm sure somebody else wants to talk to you, but I just wanted to thank you for everything you do.
All right, thank you very
much.
Thanks so much.
God bless.
Take care. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
So, as we get back to talking about some other issues about being pro-life, we talked about living a respectful life in thought, word, and deed. You need to stand up for life. You need to vote for life. And you need to defend life in your everyday relationships and your behaviors. As Bill mentioned, there are many other topics relating to contraception. There are many other evils of abortion, and we may take it upon some prayerful reflection to perhaps continue this in next month's program during Lent, because as we're running out of time with 2 minutes to go, and that's why I'm glad we did the announcements at the beginning of the program, because
we got to start doing that more.
This is what happens every month, and we praise God that this is what does happen. But we ask you to, if you can't do any of the things that we talked about, then at least pray. Everyone out there, just pray. Pray through Mary, the intercessor, to our Lord Jesus Christ for life. To reverse this and to let our culture and our government, and in every aspect that you can, if you see a letter to the editor, then write a letter back. It doesn't matter if you never wrote anything before. Get annoyed, get angry, get upset, get indignant, and stand up and defend life and say, no, this is what I need. I mean, we're defending and fighting for things, all around the world, and we need to fight in our everyday lives to defend life and defend these defenseless children. So we only have a minute left to go.
And remember that just because an unexpected pregnancy is truly a gift, and that child is a child of God. Jesus was unexpected. John the Baptist was unexpected. Please remember that. Unexpected pregnancies are great, great gifts.
So thank you very much for tuning in and joining us. Remember, this is Pro-Life Weekend and the Pro-Life March in Washington, D.C., this coming Monday. If you can't be there personally, support us in prayer. Watch us on television. Usually the president calls from somewhere at the rally around noon. We're going to meet at the Circle at 11:30. We're all going to get up and go to Mass at 6:30, and the bus will leave at 7 from St. Ignatius. And we'll end with a Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you back here next month. Praise Jesus.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.